inside the very first episode here, ladies and gentlemen, sports fans abound. I am your host, Wes, joined for the first time and for the rest of the time in studio. Well, the rest of the time he'll be in Hawaii, my co-host, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning, or good afternoon, whatever time it may be when you're listening to this.
Global Central Time Zone.
What we are is we're just a sports podcast talking in just a basically a sports bar style. We just give our opinion, and sometimes we have the facts, sometimes we don't. We do apologize, but you're more than welcome to join in. If this is the first time you're listening, make sure to check us out on Facebook, Third and Outside. And I'll be posting all the topics in through there. So, with that being said, let's get right down to business. First thing up, Lions win on the road in Tampa Bay, of course, in overtime, but it's still a win. They break the 26 game road loss streak.
Extremely long.
It was like 08, I think, the last time they won.
Record-breaking loss streak.
So, with that out of the way, and then they won actually in the division for the first time in 19 games or something like that as well. So, with that over, Eric, what do you think? The Lions, do they have a better future now that all the streaks are gone? Are they getting enough talent, do you think, in there? Because, I mean, come on. The Lions, they've been bad for, what, 6 years now?
Yeah, a long time. Well, I think it's early to say. Time will tell. This game against Miami will be a big one. Miami's a 7-7 team, so that's a great test for a team that's 4-6 or 4-7, whatever.
They're 4-10.
4-10, yeah.
But
even worse. But yeah,
they've gotten better, and you're right with the Miami team. But see, now the question is that on the road, Miami, or at home, Miami?
Yeah.
You have the paper. Which one is it?
Oh, it's at Miami.
It's at Miami.
On the road. So if they got two road wins in a row, wow. Look out.
That might actually happen because Miami's a bad team at home this year. They're great on the road, but at home, I think they've only got one or two wins. So it is a great chance there for Detroit, and I agree with you. You've gotten Dominican Sue there on the defensive line with Van de Bosch. That defensive line's looking very nice. Probably the best defensive line they've had in years. Probably the best package of players they've got is that defensive line. The offensive line's looking a little better. If you can keep Stafford healthy next year, it'll be nice. Stafford's playing well now, but of course he's injured now, so he's probably out. You've got another receiver, I think, to go on the opposite side from Chris Johnson. No, not Chris Johnson. Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson. Get a receiver on his side. Maybe get some better DBs back there in the corner position. And I think this Lions team not going to can make a big noise in the playoffs, but could contend next year if they get some talent.
Yeah, that'd be great. Their defense is strong. Hopefully the tightening up on defenses doesn't hurt the Lions. I know Dominican Sue got that big penalty for what to me looked like a push down.
That was a push. I'm sorry, the NFL. You got that wrong there. You flagged the guy and then you penalize him. That was just a push to the back.
Exactly. It was almost like a gentle push. It was like a big kid pushing a little kid down, and he could have just fell on top of him to follow up with it, but he didn't. He just put him down. So hopefully the NFL doesn't hurt these strong defenses, because I think you're right. The Lions defense is something that can help them next year. But, you know, the NFL just wants to beat defenses up now. They want to penalize everybody for everything they do.
Well, they want to protect the quarterback in the sense, but at the same time, they're putting kids' gloves on these defensive players and these quarterbacks. I mean, of course, they're whining. Cutler's the worst. Every little thing. See, in that Lions game and then the other night in Minnesota, he got hit once or twice and kind of came up with his hands up like, come on. And he only got hit like not even a handful. I can count on my hand how many times he got hit. That's how bad that game was.
Yeah.
But they're just kid gloving. But different story for a different day. We'll save that for a different show where I can go off. But so your final verdict, Lions next year?
I'd be happy if they went 500 next year.
500, so 8-8. I can see that happening. They get some offensive help there. And Stafford, of course, if he stays healthy, you've got it.
Yeah, and with the parity in the NFL now, an 8-8 team possibly could make the playoffs.
Oh, that's another story we'll get to here. And with that being said, we'll move right along to the NFL playoff picture. And Eric just said an 8-8 team making the playoffs. What do you think, Eric, about a 7-9 team making the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a competitive league, and there's a lot of good teams everywhere. So a 7-9 team making the playoffs, that's, you know, to me, as a fan of the NFL, I like to see that, because then you have, you know, people that are Lions fans like myself, or whatever team that you've been a fan for years that's been a losing team, suddenly has a chance. And that's a great thing in my mind for, you know, anybody can get beat. The Patriots can get beat. Didn't New Orleans lose this week?
New Orleans lost.
Lost last week?
They lost last week. They've also lost to the Browns. Now, the team I'm talking about, the 7-9 team, is the NFC West. Is it just a jumble mess? And if we take a look at it right here, let me... I had it pulled up, but now I don't. Ha ha! Oh, fail on my part. The NFC West looks like this. You've got St. Louis at 6-8. Seattle, 6-8. San Fran, still in it at 5-9. Arizona, of course, out of it at 4-10. But Seattle and St. Louis got two good, hard games coming up. Either they could lose both of them, and somebody has to win that division. So you're either looking at a 6-10 team making the playoffs or a 7-9 team making the playoffs. That could be get scary. Now, granted, St. Louis is, I think, as a building team, they've got a good quarterback there at Bradford, but just a 7-9 team? What?
Yeah, it for the team itself, that's got to feel good. Because they can carry that into the next season. We made the playoffs. We were only 7-9, but we're the strongest team in our division. So, you know, I would think coaches would use that as a incentive or a motivational factor. You know, like a team like St. Louis that's building and rebuilding.
Well, they're rebuilding, and they're rebuilding good out there. They've got some good players on defense. They've got Bradford, who's just been, for a rookie quarterback, it's pretty good. He's actually joined an elite club of Dan Marino and Jim... Wait, not Jim Kelly. I forget who the other quarterback is, but Dan Marino, for a rookie quarterback throwing 3,000-plus yards, he's already done that in St. Louis. So he's got a bright future as long as he stays healthy. And everybody, when he came into the NFL, was worried about that shoulder from Oklahoma. It worked out perfectly fine. So... But that division is something to watch for sure. My pick actually coming out of that whole thing is I think actually St. Louis will make it probably 7-9. If they make it at 8-8, I'll be surprised. I don't think Seattle has a... who's St. Louis got this week?
San Francisco.
San Francisco? That's a win.
Yep. At St. Louis.
At St. Louis, that's probably a win. Because San Fran, you never know what you're going to get with them. One minute they're good, one minute they're bad. And for a team that was supposed to win this division and win it handily with 10 wins, they've just fallen flat on their face.
Yeah, I thought they started the season pretty good, didn't they?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay, maybe that was last year.
That was last year.
They were 3-4-0 to start, and then they kind of took a...
They kind of took a nosedive. This year, they kind of started out flat, and they haven't really recovered. And it's not looking good there in San Fran. Okay, the other stuff we got going on, the Chicago Bears have already clinched the NFC North division. So that one is becoming interesting there. So let me pull this back up what I had. but you've got these other teams. You got New England and Atlanta, both 12-2. Great, great teams. Just... You don't know what's going to happen there with the rest of the division. So you've got, like I said, New England's projected to go 14-2, be the number one seed in the AFC. Same thing with Atlanta. Probably they're predicted to win the next two games, be the first seed. Then you've got that number two seed. It looks like it's going to be Pittsburgh. They could end up 12-4, win their division. Baltimore's right in there in it. They're going to make the playoffs at 12-4, but since Pittsburgh has beaten Baltimore, they've got the tiebreaker. They'll get the higher seed. Let's see here. You got Philly ending up 12-4, winning their division with their win over the Giants this past Sunday, which was a great game, by the way.
Yeah, it was. That was a great finish. Unfortunately, not so great.
Down 31-14 with 7.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they come back to win. And they win with no time left on the Deshaun Jackson punt return.
Yeah.
My question is, where was the Giants' defense on that one?
Well, the punt returner, the defense wasn't there, but the punt returner took a huge hit as far as he was supposed to kick it out of bounds at the end of the game.
And just didn't do it for some reason.
I guess it was a high snap, and he had to pull it down and just do what he could with it. Kicked it up the middle. It was actually a muffed punt, and he picked it up and ran it back. The punt returner dropped it. I don't know if you saw that.
It bounced a couple times in front of Deshaun before he picked it up, and then he just rumbled the rest of the way.
Right.
Kind of a disheartening loss there for the Giants, who have been trying all year to get this, be consistent and pull it together. Now, granted, they're going to make the playoffs, and they're projected to make it at 11-6, but still, this is a team that came in that was supposed to win the division, and Philly, you know, was supposed to finish second, and it's kind of flip-flopped. I mean, of course, no one predicted Michael Vick coming out of nowhere like he has and just putting up numbers like no other, but that's going to be an interesting playoffs game. Then you've got New Orleans, who will probably make it with the fifth seed at 11-5.
That's a big game today. I think it's today, New Orleans and Atlanta.
New Orleans, Atlanta, I think, is today, yes, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, today we're recording on Thursday, the 23rd. So if you're listening to this afterwards, yeah, everything's predated. I'm actually picking, if they've got Atlanta in that one, I'm actually going to pick Atlanta in that one.
Is it in Atlanta?
Let me pull that up right now. Let's see here. We have got...
New Orleans is coming off a loss. I think they're going to come out mean. Regardless if it's in Atlanta.
It's at Atlanta, and Atlanta is the pick.
Yeah. Does it show a spread?
Nope, not yet. I can pull it up real quick, yeah.
I like to see Breeze bounce back. He's one of those guys that he takes a loss well. Kind of like Brady. Brady takes a loss, and he just comes back stronger.
Actually, tonight's game is Carolina 2-12 against Pittsburgh 10-4. Pittsburgh, definitely. Carolina, that's another disappointing team there. And John Fox, he's out after the season's over. I mean, they're just terrible. You got Jimmy Clausen there. He's not effective. You can't get a quarterback that's effective there. The running game, Stewart and all that, is just falling apart. And then Steve Smith there, the receiver, is basically the only thing going on. But when you can't get the ball to him, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Steve Smith has got to be part of the play.
Atlanta is a 7-point favorite.
Okay.
7-point.
Yeah. I like New Orleans to cover that.
We've also got a Christmas Day game of Dallas and Arizona. 5-9 Dallas at 4-10 Arizona. That could be interesting. And that one, I'm going to pick... I'm actually going to pick Dallas because they're playing better here of as late.
I agree, but I'd like to see Arizona win just because I'm kind of a Dallas hater.
Who isn't a Dallas hater right now?
Dallas has bounced back a little bit, but they really turned me off to them with their... You know, they're all high-paid and... They have an individual attitude about them. Maybe not so much as late, but in the beginning of the season they did.
All right, we'll go back to the picks here in just a minute. I'm getting off track. Then the rest of the playoff wild card games look like this. You've got the six seed New York Jets at 12-4 getting in to the surprisingly good and probably going to win their division, 11-5 projected final in the third seed, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, coming into this season, no one picked Kansas City to do as good as they've done, and they've been great on defense. They've been pretty good on offense. I mean, sometimes they let you down, but Matt Castle out there, former Brady backup, he's been good. He has been good. I cannot lie. He hasn't been Brady-esque or Manning-esque, but he's been a great game changer, and he makes the throws when they're needed out there. And the running back, Jamal Charles, who I have on my fantasy team, sorry for clearing my throat, everybody, has just been lights out. lights out there in Kansas City, and I kind of like it. He got me 21 points this past week. Put me in the championship game. Thank you, Kansas City. Then you've got Baltimore at 12-4, being the fifth seed, going to the Indianapolis Colts at 10-6. They're predicting Indianapolis to beat Jacksonville for the division. And Jacksonville sitting out after having a chance against last week against Indianapolis. Beating Indianapolis, they would have won the division and made the playoffs. And now it's all in Indianapolis' hands from here on out. So that's kind of scary there. Kind of sad, actually. Jacksonville, and people wonder why this team's considered overrated and everything else. Last week's game is why. You had a chance to hit them in the mouth, shut everybody up, beat Indianapolis in Indianapolis to win the division, and you just didn't do it. So that's your playoff picture. It sets up like this. I'll pick New England to come out of the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like New England. I don't see anybody else having the drive that they do right now.
They're just on fire.
Yeah, they really are. It's a real test, I think, for Peyton Manning right now. If he can come out on top of this, I think it's almost his final test as a pressure quarterback, somebody that can perform under the conditions that he is right now. They're not in the lead like they have been in the past.
And they got a lot of injuries there. Dallas Clark out. Reggie Wayne hasn't had the greatest season in the world.
Akali
is out for the season. Put him out. So he hasn't had the talent around him. I agree with you. He hasn't had the talent. So if he makes the playoffs and gets to maybe the divisional game or maybe even the conference game, New England is going to the conference game. Bookmark it right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's going. Yeah. Tom Brady, he's got one game to get there. And against these other teams, I think he's got it. Now, who he gets on the other side could be a little... If he's getting Pittsburgh on the other side, that could be a great AFC view there. And the NFC if this stands and comes out the way it is, I'm actually going to pick... I'll pick Atlanta coming out. It's either going to be Atlanta or New Orleans coming out of the NFC. The NFC is just a really iffy conference this year.
Yeah, that's the Monday night game.
The Monday night game, you're right.
Yeah.
That's what it was, the Monday night game. Yeah,
well, wouldn't that be cool if that's the precursor to the NFC championship game?
So if
either one of them lose, they can still make it to the playoffs, obviously, and then make it to the NFC championship game.
That would only happen if Chicago was able to lose to New York, which would give them to Atlanta in the division.
And that's possible.
The Saints would have to beat New Orleans.
The Jets seem to be on a little bit of a roll.
I might
take them. They're playing in Chicago. I might take the Jets to beat Chicago.
Yeah, that's true. They could rest their starters last two games. They've got the division wrapped up. They're not going to get a one or a two seed, so I could see that happening. It's either going to go to Philly. Well, actually, no, wait. Chicago's still in it for, technically. They can still be in it for the second seed. First seed's going to Atlanta, definitely. I can see that one. Now, New York, the Jets for a little while there, they got a little stagnant. You know, their offense couldn't push, especially against the game against the Lions. You know, they had the Browns and the Lions, two teams that, if the Jets were as good as they say they were, should have blown these two teams out of the water.
Yeah.
And both teams were in it. Granted, they both still lost, but just both of them were in it to the very end, and that's that Jets team. Rex Ryan, I don't know what he's got going on there, but his coaches, it seems kind of like a mafia crowd there. It's all quiet and hush-hush, and when that that coach tripped the Miami player...
Yeah.
They were all so quick to throw him under the wagon. They're not talking about it. Like, they had no clue what going on. I'm sorry. If you're the head coach and you do not know if he's strength coach, what your strength coach is doing on the sideline, why are you a coach?
Yeah.
Why? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. So, in New York, yeah, they could possibly end up... They're probably going to be the sixth seed at 12-4, and that's really sad when the sixth seeds in the AFC is 12-4.
That should be a division leader type of record.
Yeah, but they are, but of course they've lost to... The tiebreaker's going to go to New England, but of course New England's two games ahead of them right now, so I don't see that catching up. So All right, let's move on to predictions now that we've done the playoffs. So they counteract. sue us. All right, we've already done. I picked Pittsburgh Thursday tonight against Carolina. Who you got?
Yeah, I like Pittsburgh.
We got the Steelers. We've got Dallas and Arizona. I'm picking Dallas. You said Dallas, but you want Arizona to win.
Yeah, I think Dallas will win, though.
So we move on to the Sunday games. We've got Tennessee, 6-8 on the road in Kansas City, 9-5. I'm going to pick Kansas City in this one because, they're, like I said, they're playing great. They're working hard there in Kansas City. They've got something going on there. I cannot remember the coach's name out there in Kansas City for the life of me.
I can't either.
But former New England guy, he's building a team out there like Billy, the coach did there in New England. So I'm going to pick Kansas City in that one.
I like the Chiefs as well.
And Tennessee's been on kind of a slide ever since the whole Vince Young thing. And Vince Young, by the way, a little side note, he's out of Tennessee this year. The owner's not going to get rid of Jim Fisher. I'm sorry. If you get rid of Jim Fisher in Tennessee, Bud Adams, you're a moron. moving on to Baltimore, 10-4 on the road in at my Cleveland Browns at 5-9. I was kind of hoping the Browns would be better record this time. I was hoping they'd be 7-7 sit coming into these last two games and end up 7-9. Unfortunately, coming in against a strong Baltimore team, their defense strong up front, but when you get back in there like New Orleans did, New Orleans Drew Brees tore that secondary up in Baltimore. But Colt McCoy starting, I don't think he's got the patience and the talent to tear it apart. So I'm picking Baltimore in that. Though if Cleveland wins, I'm going to be happy and very happy on the next show. So I'm picking Baltimore in that one.
Are they still calling it the dog pound?
Yep, still got the dog pound there.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland in an upset.
You're picking Cleveland in an upset.
Cleveland in the upset, in the dog pound.
In the dog pound. All right, I'm writing that down. Man, he's got more cojones than I do. I can't even pick my own team.
I like Baltimore, but I think they got lucky last week, and I think they're a team that may be on a downward slide.
You think so? They're in that division after losing to Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Okay, I see that one. All right, I'll put you down for Cleveland. We have got, let's see here, New England at 12-2 on the road and Buffalo at 4-10. This Buffalo team started out 0-6. Really, really bad. Really, really bad. And they've been 4-4 the rest of the way. Playing a lot better. They found their answer in Ryan Fitzgerald, their quarterback in Buffalo. I'm sorry, it's New England. New England, all the way, blowout. So we're both in New England there. Next one, San Fran at St. Louis, 9-5 and 6-8 there, respectively. You know, St. Louis, this whole division's been so hard to pick and think about. So I'm going to say San Fran, just because it's just this type of division. I say San Fran wins it. They pull back in. I pick San Fran, and they get back into the race there in the division.
I'm going to take the Rams.
All right.
Hopefully they take advantage of the their record and close it. Because the Rams have the best record right now, don't they?
In their division, they're tied with Seattle at, 6-8.
Right.
They have to win their next two games to get the 500. We're going to have a 7-9 team come out of that division. So, yeah. All right. Moving along, we've got Detroit on the road in Miami, 4-10. They're 1-6 on the road. Miami, 7-7, 1-6 at home. I actually am thinking Miami, they don't have anything to play for. Neither does Detroit, of course. But I think Detroit on the road. I'm calling right now, I'm saying it, Detroit gets back-to-back road wins.
I agree. I think Detroit's going to get the back-to-back road win, and I think that's what Detroit has to play for. I think you're right. Miami doesn't have anything to play for. But I do think Detroit has something to play for. They
Pride.
Really celebrated after that road win last week, and I think they want to follow it up again this week.
And Jim Schwartz, see, we're based here in Michigan, so Eric will be out in Hawaii, but I'm based here in Michigan, so I know everything Lions. Jim Schwartz there, whether you want to believe it or not, he's a good coach. He needs to get a little bit more fire in his belly, but he's a good coach. He's got these players playing good, so we both got Detroit in that one. We're moving on. Washington at 5-9 on the road in Jacksonville, 8-6. I say Jacksonville wins this one. Washington's just a mess. They benched Donovan McNabb for Rex Grossman, of all people. Come on.
Rex.
Seriously? Rex Grossman for Donovan McNabb. You're losing your mind there in Washington. I'm picking Jacksonville.
I like Jacksonville as well.
Jacksonville. All right, we'll move along here. We've got the Jets, 10-4, on the road against Chicago, 10-4. This one's going to be on CBS. I'm actually going to pick the... I'll pick the Bears. I'll pick the Bears in this one. I think... I don't know. That Jets team is just so hard to pick. One minute they're good, one minute they're not. So I'm going to pick the Bears.
They are hard to pick. I am going with the Jets, though. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. They've got a thing going right now, and I think they're going to roll the next two or three games. And probably,
you got two games left.
Yeah, two games. Thank you. And then see what happens after that.
All righty, then. He's got the Jets, I got the Bears. I'm running these down all the way because if you get that Cleveland one, oh. I'm going to be excited they won, but then I'm just going to have to look at you and say you have bigger cojones than me for picking them. We've got Houston, 5-9, on the road in Denver, 3-11. That Denver team has just been a total disappointment. They fired their coach. They started out looking good last year, bombed. Started out looking like they were going to be good this year, bombed. Kyle Orton's out. He was having a great year, and then for some reason he had arm strength, velocity, accuracy. Pardon my language. If you guys listen to me on my regular show, you'll find out why. But something in Denver is just not right. And then now Tim Tebow is going to be starting this game as well. He had a great game against Oakland. I think he ran too much, took too many hits. That's a bad idea in the NFL for a quarterback to take all those hits. But of course, he's Tim Tebow. He knows no other way. I'm going to pick Houston in this one.
I like Houston too. Denver is a mess. One of the messiest situations in the NFL. And, Houston's got to take this game. If Houston doesn't take the game, then, you know, they've really got to look at what's
after
going
finishing 8-8 last year.
Yeah.
And being picked to finish enough in to get to the playoffs this year, they started out great and they just have fallen apart there in Houston. But I think against Denver, it's got to be Houston. Then we've got Indianapolis at 8-6 on the road against a 7-7 Oakland team. This Oakland team looks good, but they play inconsistent. They need to pull it together there in Oakland. They need to play as a team. Sometimes it's more about the oneself. You got Jason Campbell, who's been doing good out there. You got a great backup in Brad Gradkowski.
He used to play that three times.
Brad Gradkowski. He used to play for my hometown of the Toledo Rockets, and he was a great quarterback there. Honestly, I don't think he's gotten his fair shake in the NFL. When he's been in there for Oakland, the team's been better than when they were in with Campbell. But for some reason, Al Davis, that psycho, has lost his mind, and he's just... it's Al Davis's normal there. So I'm going to actually pick... I'll pick Indianapolis. I think it's going to be a close one. I think this might be the most closely contested game of the entire weekend.
That's what I was just going to say. I think this is the pick of the week, the tough one of the week. And if Indianapolis loses, does it mean that Manning's not as good as everybody thinks? I mean, or do you blame it on Manning? Is it purely based on his performance against Oakland? If he throws two or three interceptions against the Oakland team and loses the game, is he not one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL anymore because he isn't able to produce?
Oh, he'll still be one of the top quarterbacks, and everyone's going to say, like me, I'll be one of them. They've just had injuries this year. It's not Manning's fault. He's had injuries there in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, that's what separates Tom Brady, though. I mean, look at what he's had to go through and how many guys he throws to. That's just the comparison I'm making. But I think the Colts will win it. I think Peyton Manning is a solid enough player to use, because the pressure lies on him, use what he's got and come up with the win. And if Oakland wins, you know, more power to them.
That puts Jacksonville back in the chance for the division again.
Yeah.
So Jacksonville's picking Oakland there, ladies and gentlemen. They're wearing their silver and black underneath their jerseys out there in Jacksonville. Yeah, I could see that. that being the closest game. But of course, then we'll come back next week and it'll be a blowout. So that will be the problem. Next one up, San Diego, 8-6 against the very, very utterly disappointing 3-11 Cincinnati Failures. I'm not even going to call them bungles. It's just flat out failures. You had Terrell Owens, who is now out for the season. You had Chad Johnson, Carson Palmer, and Cedric Benson there. Four. Even though Carson Palmer's just been iffy his whole year. Those four right there should have carried Cincinnati to a playoff berth, if not the division. And it's just been a mess. Mess there in Cincinnati. I'm going to pick the Chargers. The Chargers are in the race for the division against Kansas City. They're not going to let off the brake against this just really bad defensive Cincinnati unit.
Yeah, Chargers all the way.
Chargers all the way in that one.
Cincinnati's done. T.O. Joe Show's done.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that joke. Oh, man, what idiot? What producer gave him that show? That's all I'm saying. Of course, it's also on Versus, so that makes sense. Next one we've got lined up here is Seattle, 6-8 on the road against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 8-6. Tampa Bay started the season out really good. Their coach, Raheem Morris, said that they were the best team at the NFC. They would go 14-2 or whatever he said. He started bragging after the team started, 7-1? Or something, and 4-something. It was early in the season. I don't remember, but he got really ahead of himself. And this Tampa Bay team has been inconsistent, to say the least, down the stretch here. So in this one, actually, I'm picking Seattle. I'm picking the Seahawks. I think Tampa Bay, it's just really inconsistent here of his late. So I'm picking the Seahawks.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay, mostly because I think St. Louis is going to end up with the
division.
Division, and I think part of that is Seattle's going to have to take a loss, right? So I'm thinking it's going to be against Tampa Bay. They're going to bounce back against the loss.
Okay, lost the line. So there's another one we got split. We got 5 of those so far. The 9-5, very shocked and hopefully moving along, New York Giants on the road in Green Bay in December, late December, the 8-6 Packers. Late December. They played in the... I'm actually going to say the Packers need to win this one. Actually, the Packers need to win this one to stay in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, they really
Giants,
do.
I'm going to pick the Packers in this one. I think they've got more to play for. The Giants are kind of already in that mindset they're going to get in. You know, I think they'll take it easy. I think, actually, what's on their mind still, is because Tom Coughlin's just not that kind of coach to get them motivated past that loss, is that loss to Philly last week. So I'm going to pick the Packers in this one.
Yeah, I think Coughlin's going to end up throwing his clipboard into the stands this week. The Packers, I'm thinking the Packers are going to roll, too.
I don't think roll, but I think it's going to be them for sure. I think they're going to be in the lead for the most part, and Giants try to make a comeback. But I don't know. Just Tom Coughlin there in New York, I think it might be time for him to be shown the door. And the press conference, did you see that press conference that Eli was the only one there for?
No, I didn't see it.
So, they're showing on ESPN, and I saw this. Eli Manning, after the Philly game, he's the only player there. No reporters are in there. Here's Eli with his thumb up his butt. Well, not up his butt, but in his pocket, all that, just waiting. He's Eli Manning. He's won a Super Bowl. He's standing there waiting for reporters to show up. One reporter with a backpack on, looking like he just came out of a college dorm room or Sociology 101 or whatever it is, comes in there, sits down, not even ready. Eli walks up there and starts the press conference.
Intern reporter.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody was in the Philly locker room, and here's Eli.
Good for Eli for being there, though.
That is true. I mean, Eli, even though he started out with his old, I don't want to play for San Diego when he got drafted and all this
right.
stuff, he's kind of become a bit more of a class player. Still not on the same lines as his brother, Peyton. But
yeah, I have gained respect for Eli. You're right, in the beginning when he didn't want to play for San Diego,
mm-hmm.
You know, to most people it's a dream just to get to that level, and here's a guy that doesn't want to play in the NFL for a team. But yeah, he's recovered. He's won a Super Bowl. So.
He's won a Super Bowl. That is for sure. Against the undefeated Patriots at that time. That was a Super Bowl that probably the greatest ones of all time there. I watched that game, and I was just... I actually... This is not me bragging. You know, I can get my wife on here and my father-in-law. They will attest. I was the only one in the house to pick the Giants. Everyone's saying it's going to be New England. I said Giants. Just because at that time, I hated New England. I kind of have more of a respect for them now because they're not buying all the talent like they were then. You know?
Yeah.
They kind of reminded me of the Yankees getting all this strong talent to come in there. Now they're not getting it, and they're playing with the players they've drafted.
Yeah, they're winning with guys named Woodhead.
Yeah, Woodhead. So, yeah. So now I have a little bit more respect for them. For them, though, I picked the Giants. If you don't believe me, send me your comments, and I'll get proof. Trust me. And then the next one, the last Sunday game. This is the night game on NBC. Minnesota, 5-9, travels to Philly. 10-4, Philly.
Philly.
No Brett question. Favre has got a concussion. They haven't ruled him out yet. Now they're ruling that he's going to play literally 2 hours before, not even 2 hours, I think. I think it was an hour and a half before that game in Minnesota against the Bears. Favre went from not playing to, oh, he's starting. Jeez. Just like that.
Wow,
so,
he's
an egomaniac.
Yeah. Unreal.
Brett Favre cares about is himself. It's his last game in Minnesota. He wants to say, well, I wanted to play. It's the last game in Minnesota. And No. You wanted the spotlight to be on you. You wanted to be this big heroic comeback in the cold. And you basically got knocked out in the second quarter with a concussion. You old man, stay there.
Yeah, Minnesota, the organization has really compromised their reputation doing what they're doing with Favre.
Oh,
my opinion. I mean, you know, I know Favre has a mystique about him, but when it comes to the math of the game and the science of the game, there's no way he should be playing.
There's a huge equation that they're just forgetting, and it's the fact that he's 43 years old and a grandfather. I think he's 43, yeah. I have to look that up.
He's a grandfather?
He's a grandfather. He is the only, this is an interesting fact, he's the only grandfather in the NFL to ever play to be a grandfather.
Grandpa Brett,
and he needs to stay on the sidelines with a walker and an IV drip, because that man, he goes out there, he might die. I'm seriously, the hits he's taken this year and the way he's looked, granted he had a great year last year, I'm not going to take anything from the Vikings last year. This year though, I'm sorry, I think last year was a flash in the pan. I'm thinking Brett should have stayed down in Mississippi throwing footballs to high school students for fun and cutting his grass or whatever he said he was going to do. He's talking about retiring again already, that this is it, and all this other stuff. I'm sorry. When the season starts next year, week one, and I don't see Brett Favre on the team, then I believe he's retired. Until then, I don't trust the man. So we both picked Philly in that one. And then the Monday night game for all the marbles. This is Howard Cosell. I can't do it. It's New Orleans, 10-4, on the road in the Georgia Dome against the 12-2. Atlanta Falcons, who are leading New Orleans in the division by 2 games. I'm picking Atlanta in this one. Honestly, I'm a Saints fan. I'm a Browns fan and a Saints fan, ladies and gentlemen. Last year when they won that Super Bowl, as happy as ever. I think New Orleans is going to get in the playoffs, but it's not going to be as a division leader. Matt Ryan and Atlanta is nuts. This team is playing very, very well.
Yeah, they are.
I'm picking Atlanta in the Georgia Dome on Monday night.
I'm going to take New Orleans to bounce back. What a game, though. This is obviously number two tough pick of the week. It means everything, I think, to Breeze to come into Atlanta and win after their loss last week. And you're right, Atlanta's fantastic right now. Atlanta could sneak up and just take the NFC title, period.
They could. I right now the Super Bowl is going to be New England and Atlanta. As of this moment, both teams are playing very well.
And it would be great if, you know, whatever happens in this game, if New Orleans and Atlanta can meet in the NFC Championship game, you know, that always is a great build-up for NFL fans to have a game so late in the season and then get to watch the same teams play again for a championship game.
And the roles be reversed. That would be actually pretty cool. All right, that's our NFL picks. That's our little NFL talk. We're going to move on now to the College Bowl season. And we're going to talk about the BCS and probably the next two main bowl games. The rest of them, I'm sorry, 35 bowl games. Way, way too much to go on.
A lot of bowl games.
Too much bowl games. Next show, I didn't get it done this one. Next show, I'm going to do my theory on a bowl playoff game. using some of the Bulls. So that should be interesting. Plus home games for the top-rated seeds in the first round. So we'll do that next week. I was going to do it this week. I didn't get it together. Forgive me, everyone. But it's our first show. What do you want? So let's start with the lesser-known Bulls. Not the BCS, but the basically the two biggest matchups on January 1st. We've got the Outback Bowl in Tampa. Penn State from the Big Ten taking on Florida from the SEC. A big matchup, SEC. Basically, the big matchups this year are Big Ten and SEC.
Yeah.
Florida in this one. Urban Meyer's out after this game. The Texas assistant, Muschamp's taking over. I think, actually, Florida wins this one for the Gipper. Last game going out. Urban Meyer, I can't discredit anything he's done there in Florida. Granted, he beat my Buckeyes for a championship. God. But I think Florida wins this one. Penn State, great team in the Big Ten. Kind of a little bit of a letdown season, but I'm picking Florida in this one.
Yeah, I'd like to pick Penn State, but I think Florida is going to win. These are the college bowl games to me are a little bit tougher to pick than NFL. You know, you're right. Florida can get up and win one for the Gipper, and you know that's their motivation. What other motivation do they have other than it's college or NFL recruiters are going to be there or watching,
or high school recruits coming to Florida, and even then, it's not going to be because of Meyer. So.
Right, yeah, he's gone. So that's a tough one. It's a
and
big
this
question
offense.
Mark. We know the coach for Penn State's going to be back.
Paternal.
Again next year.
One man I want to retire won't retire.
Yeah. Of all the guys that are in and out of the NCAA, this guy really has the staying power.
Yeah, but I think next year's his last one. He's going to be 87 years old by the time the season starts. It's just in the defense. Penn State's defense, I don't think, can hold up against Florida's running game. That's been Penn State's downfall all year. Anytime they get a good running game and a quarterback who can run and throw, Penn State's just been staring at the ground not knowing what to do. So yeah. Definitely Florida in that one. Next one is the Capital One Bowl, of course, January 1st in Orlando. Michigan State from the Big Ten taking on Alabama from the SEC. Very, very disappointing season in the eyes of the Bama folks there. Alabama was supposed to compete for a national championship. They lost twice this year.
Two losses.
Season. One to South Carolina and the other one to LSU, which basically knocked them out of a chance of playing for a BCS game. In this one, Michigan State, they played really good. 11-1 in the Big Ten this year. Surprised a lot of people by hanging in there with Wisconsin and Ohio State. Honestly, this one's going to be a really, really good game. If you've got time, watch it. It's going to be on ESPN.
Can't wait.
This is going to be a good game. It's really tough for me to call. Both have very good offenses and both have very good defenses. I'm actually going to give the edge here in this one to Michigan State. I think Alabama is going to be high on their horse with this SEC Big Ten record. You know, Big Ten can't beat the SEC. I honestly think this team all year has been overrated in my eyes, but I'm just going to pick Michigan State.
I agree. I like Michigan State in a real close game.
Real close.
Field goal wins the game, overtime win. Michigan State has been in a lot of close games, and they've been able to pull them off at the end.
Yeah.
So I do like the Spartans. If Alabama wins, I think it'll be maybe a lopsided win. If they get out early, score 21, 28 points ahead of Michigan State.
Back on their heels.
Yeah, the Spartans are going to have a hard time coming back against that. But if they go toe-to-toe and blow-for-blow, I think the Spartans have that kind of staying power when they're in a close game. They know how to win it. I mean, they had one of the best plays of the season with the fake field goal.
Against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Late in the game.
That was a great play. I mean, Notre Dame wasn't a great team, but it doesn't matter. You got to win games, and they won that game.
They did hold on there. If Alabama comes out and just blows Michigan State out of the water as this thing starts, then yes, it's Alabama all the way. But if you're right, if Michigan State can stay in there toe-to-toe, it comes down to the fourth quarter, my money's on Michigan State there because it wasn't LSU, correction, that they lost to. It was Auburn they lost to. for their second loss. That game, Alabama had the lead, and Cam Newton just went nuts. So I don't think Alabama, I don't know. But yeah, if it's close in the fourth, my money's Michigan State.
Yeah. Nice correction, Wes, by the way.
Yeah, I may not know him right off the bat, but I remember. Thank you there, buddy. All right, now we're going to move on to the BCS. The rest of the games.
Well, wait a second. How about that Michigan-Mississippi State?
Seriously, Michigan-Mississippi State in Jacksonville, the Gator Bowl? We're going to talk about Michigan? Oh, you're a Michigan homer, that's
Didn't
why.
Didn't the Gator Bowl used to mean something?
Yeah, and that's before the BCS came along.
Yeah. But I'm looking at their logos right now, and they're almost the same logo.
Oh, yeah, I'm
the
looking
M's
at that.
The M's are so similar.
The M, the lettering across it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, fine, since you want to talk about it and you're a Michigan homer, we'll talk about it.
Thank you, Buckeye.
Hey, at least I know what a BCS looks like.
Ooh.
I can say that. I can say I know what a BCS title game looks like. I don't know what it means to win one since 03, but I know what it looks like. Michigan against Mississippi State. Michigan's been I don't know. I'll pick Michigan. I'll be a Big Ten homer, I guess.
All right. Thank you. I don't know who's going to win, but I think the score is going to be 71-72.
Oh, yeah. The way these teams play defense? I know that much. The way these two teams play defense, it's a surprise they're in a bowl game on January 1st. So I'll pick Michigan. You got?
I'll take Michigan.
He'll take Michigan. All right. Now that we got the Michigan baloney out of the way, and by the way, Rich Rod's gone after the game. He will get his pink slip in the locker room, please. Bring in Jim Harbaugh. Bring some class back
great.
To Michigan.
That'd be great.
So we'll take a little side note here. Michigan, with Rich Rod, it's just a joke. He's a joke.
The offense has been great, though.
This year? The last 2 years? No.
Well, he's improved their record from when he
two games
came
each
on.
Year, three in whatever 1 year, five wins last year, 7 years, two wins each time. He's got no defense. He's not a defensive minded coach. He doesn't care about the defense.
Got to have defense in the Big Ten.
In the Big Ten, yeah, exactly. You don't have defense in the Big Ten, you're not going to win. Okay. Now, granted, in the SEC, you can get away with no defense, as Mississippi State has shown. But you need defense in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's a smash mouth league. It's line up, pop you in the mouth defenses. That's what Michigan was known for. You were telling me that the other day. That's what they're known for. They're not that way anymore.
No.
And you bring back Jim Harbaugh. Man, I can't talk. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You bring Jim Harbaugh back from Stanford if you can get him to leave. There's rumors floating around here in the state of Michigan that he wants to come back, that he's tired of the Pac-10. So
that'd be cool.
That would bring some respect back to that team, that college, the conference, and the Ohio State-Michigan game. That's why I want Rich Rod gone. He has destroyed that rivalry.
I just saw a thing in the newspaper that they're going to start holding weddings in the big house at the 50-yard line.
It'll be more enthusiastic than watching the team play.
They need to marry Harbaugh to the Wolverines.
Put the mascot out there right on the 50-yard line. With Rich Rod there crying, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Never the bride.
bring in Jim Harbaugh from Stanford. Give him 2 years. The third year, Michigan, screw that. Give him 1 year. The second year, they'll be in the running for the Big Ten title. Especially with the new formats and the playoff coming up, Michigan can become a force. All right, moving on to the BCS championships. Let's see here. Let's start with the one for this out. The Rose Bowl in Pasadena, January 1st on ESPN at 4:30. TCU takes on Wisconsin. Everyone is picking Wisconsin in this one. I'm going to pick Wisconsin, but I'm going to say this first. This Texas Christian team is scary. Granted, they haven't played a big school like they will with Wisconsin, but they're scary on offense. And that defense, you get them wild up, they could shut them Wisconsin down. But I think on offensive side, that offensive line for Wisconsin is some big boys. And I saw what they did to Ohio State's very good defensive line. They pushed them around like they were pieces of paper in the wind. So picking Wisconsin because it's just because of that fact. That offensive line is big, strong, and I think they're going to knock TCU on their cans.
Yeah, I think TCU of the small schools is the closest to the crossover schools. I think if any of the small schools can hang with the bigger teams, it's TCU. I do think Wisconsin's going to win this game. I'd like to see it a close game, though. I'd like to see it a, you know, fourth quarter field goal or touchdown.
Yeah, you victory. Hate to see a blowout. And that's the one thing I hated about the BCS is those blowouts. And to add a follow-up on your note with the closest doing the crossover.
Yeah.
2012, TCU goes to the Big East.
Nice.
A BCS automatic qualifier.
Yeah, and I'm saying that because I watched the Boise State-Utah game last night. Boise State won fairly convincingly, but it took them a long time to get started, and they had more than four turnovers in that game.
Yeah.
And you can't be a team, you can't hang with the Ohio State or Wisconsin or Florida or Auburn or Alabama when you have four turnovers. And it wasn't just the turnovers. The
two
wide
turnovers
receivers
will kill you.
Yeah, the wide receivers were dropping big play pass, and that's just the nerves of playing a Utah. Imagine the nerves they'd have playing a Ohio State or Wisconsin or Auburn or Oregon.
Oh, geez. That would have been just terrifying for them. But you're right, Boise. I think, honestly, watching that game last night, I think they were more than pissed off that they weren't in a BCS game, even with one loss after that loss in Nevada, and I think that a lot of them were just like, there's nothing. Nothing. We're in a bowl game, yeah, but it's December 22nd and we're in a bowl game. We wanted to be in one in January.
They didn't help anything with their credibility last night. They won the game, but it wasn't a convincing...
It was coaching they won that game, not players. Right. It was the coaching that won that game for them last night. So, definitely, you see, we both got Wisconsin. Fiesta in Arizona, January 1st, 8 p.m. on ESPN. Connecticut, not even ranked, against Oklahoma of the Big 12. Oklahoma all the way. This Big East Conference has just been a joke all year. Connecticut, they won it. Don't know how they won it, but they won it, so they get the automatic bid. But this Big East Conference was just the worst conference of the year. So, I'm picking the Sooners.
Yeah, I like
the
Sooners, too. What were they ranked?
Oklahoma?
Did they have a top 25 ranking?
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma, I think, is like 4 or 5.
Yeah, to me,
that.
Having a Connecticut team play in Oklahoma, there must be some kind of marketing involved in there. Maybe Connecticut
it's
has a large market, and it just seems like a mismatch. I'd be very surprised if it was a close game.
I've seen Connecticut play, so you're saying a close game. I'm saying it's just Oklahoma just runs all over these boys.
No, yeah, I agree. Oklahoma's going to run all over them. That's why I'm saying I'd be surprised if it was a close game.
Oh, you said it'd be surprised.
I don't think Connecticut should be there.
I don't think either.
I think it's a marketing thing. They must have a large market, and that's why they've put them in the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, the reason they got in the Fiesta Bowl is because they won the Big East. The Big East gets that automatic qualifier. And the Big East, like I said, it's just been a terrible, terrible conference this year.
Right, but they must have a large market. That's why they're getting to be in the Fiesta Bowl.
Well, where else were they going to pin them? They could pin them in the orange or the sugar. Well, that wasn't going to happen. Definitely wasn't going to happen in the Rose. Fiesta is technically, in the eyes of the BCS, kind of like a fourth child among the... Well, not among the BCS. In the BCS, it's on the same level. But in the old school... In the old bowl systems, Fiesta was number 4. It was Rose, then you had the
Orange Bowl.
Orange Bowl, then you had the Sugar, then came the Fiesta.
Right.
So that's probably why they got put there. It's just because it was the fourth lowest, and plus they had to put them somewhere because they won the Big East. This team, this bowl, this place is going to be full of Oklahoma Sooners with a few Connecticut in there. That it's going to be over before, as soon as they flip the coin, it's over. So Oklahoma there. Orange Bowl, January 3rd, 8 p.m., ESPN. Stanford, great team against Virginia Tech. Got really hot at the end of the year. Stanford, Big Ten, Pac-10, did really good this year. They were competing with Oregon until they played. Jim Harbaugh's got this team running like a well-oiled machine.
Yes, he does.
I'm picking Stanford, even though Virginia Tech started out really slow. They lost to Boise and all this other stuff, but they've hit their stride when it counts, and at the end of the year, coming into the bowl season, I say this is going to be a really close game. If Virginia Tech wins it, good for them. I mean, they're more than capable of winning. They're talented enough on both sides of the ball. Their coach, Frank Beamer, if I'm not mistaken, great coach. They win it. They've deserved it very much. Stanford, though, I think, just going to win this one. And I think this one's going to be a close one, too, coming into the fourth.
I think Stanford's going to win, but I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think Stanford's going to use this as an explanation point to their season. I think they know that they're better than where they ended up. And they just seem like a mean team. You know, they took the loss. And, you know, what else can you do other than come out and just keep winning? And that's I think they're just going to trounce Virginia Tech.
You want them to win and win big so it looks good for when Harbaugh leaves there and goes to Michigan. That's the only reason you're saying
that. Am I that transparent? I must be.
I can see the wall behind you. All right, he's picking Stanford in a blowout. I'm picking them in a close game. He just wants Harbaugh to come. Here's my game. We go to the New Orleans Sugar Bowl, January 4th, 9 p.m. on ESPN. The SEC Arkansas with Ryan Mallard as their quarterback against the Ohio State University Buckeyes. Honestly, Ohio State's 0-9 against SEC teams going back to 77 or whatever it was, 73-77. I think the streak stops here. This Arkansas team is good. Don't get me wrong. Ray Mallard, Mallett, great quarterback. He's going to do some damage in the NFL. Their defense is what scares me. Their defense is not scares me. It's their defense that is going to be their downfall. Let me rephrase that. A running game. You get a running game against this this Arkansas team, they're a totally different team. And they've got some good running backs there. They've got Pryor right there. You know, he ain't going to find anyone open. That boy is just going to... I'm not even going to say boy. That man's just going to run.
Yeah. And man's a better term.
If you've ever seen him run, if you've never seen Terrell Pryor run, and if you're a fan of college football, I don't know how you haven't, because Ohio State's normally on all... that's the one thing that everybody hates is Ohio State's always on ESPN. Well, when you get these games and play these big conferences and you're a six-time conference champion, six straight times, you know, that's what happens. This boy, when he runs, this man, when he runs, looks like he's jogging while everybody else is full bore going for it. His legs are that long. I mean, when you're 6'6 and as strong as he is, and you said it the other night, when people hit him, they bounce off.
Bounce right off him.
This man is strong. I think Terrell Pryor is going to have another game like he did against Oregon last year in the Rose Bowl. It's going to be his coming out party for the senior year, and I think he's just going to take it all his way. They've got some great receivers there at Ohio State. Defense, not as great as it's been the last few years. Their secondary, not the best. You still got Check Wall out there. But I'm going to say Ohio State by 2 touchdowns.
I agree. I think this is another explanation point game for Ohio State. They're a top 1, 2, 3 team. Everybody knows it. They're going to crush Arkansas.
They may know it, but they hate it.
This is good. And like you were saying, they haven't beat an SEC team. So, again, another explanation point. They're going to come out and really put it to Arkansas.
And, and a side note, this might not even be a turning coming out party for his senior year. This might be his coming out party for the draft. He's a junior this year. He can leave Ohio State this year and go in the NFL. I don't think he will because of all the other quarterback talent around him. He will not be a high pick. He might be a second rounder. So I think he comes back for a senior year just because of all the quarterback talent that's coming out this year. Next year is kind of thin. So
scary seeing him come back next year.
Oh, scary for the Big Ten. Happy for me.
For the Buckeyes.
And then we've got the BCS title game in Glendale, Arizona, January 10th, 8 p.m. on ESPN. They flip-flopped, didn't they? Yeah. Number 2, Oregon versus number 1, Auburn. Cam Newton, Heisman Trophy winner, has got this offense just moving. moving. This offense, they've been down in games, and all of a sudden it's just like flipping a switch. And there goes Auburn. Oregon, they've kind of high flying offense all year. Not discrediting anything they have. I think their defense is a little shake. Their defense is good, but I don't think their defense is as good as Auburn's. I'm picking Auburn in this one. I don't think Oregon's defense can hold back Cam Newton.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think in order for Oregon to win, they're going to have to come out and score 21, 28 points right off the bat.
Just
and,
pop them right in the mouth right in
yeah,
the first 10
minutes. And make Auburn fight back for it. But if it's a close game, Auburn's another one of those teams that just knows how to win in the close games.
Oh, yeah. Alabama game, perfect example. They were down 2 touchdowns and got 3 from Cam Newton. So, of course, Oregon could come out, and you don't know what can happen. I mean, Cam Newton's been doing all the Heisman hype and all this other stuff, tour and all that. You do that, and that's normally when the Heisman players, when they come to that big bowl game, that's when they fall flat on their face. It's because they've done all that stuff.
It does seem like Oregon has a little bit more to prove than Auburn. Auburn almost seems like they've spent their energy as far as their glory for the season goes, where Oregon seems like they just keep building up the steam, getting to this point.
I can see that.
They haven't proved themselves like they want to as a school in the SEC and as a powerhouse type of team.
Which they haven't yet, because for the longest time they were dormant and the USC held that conference. So I see what you're saying, and Auburn's got it in their head that they're at the SEC, and SEC is always in the title game. You know, I could see that happening. I'm still going to stick with my Auburn pick because I don't think their defense can stop Cam Newton. I think their defense, Oregon's defense, can stop everybody else. I just don't think they can stop Cam. He's another guy you call man, not boy.
Right.
And he's gone this year. He isn't coming back a second year. And there's two reasons I say that. One, he's too talented.
Now, if they lose this game, does he come back and try to win a national title?
I still say he leaves. I still say he leaves, because I think once he leaves, we're going to find out all the stuff that happened with his dad and Mississippi State.
Yeah, that's true. I was forgetting about that. If that all comes to a head, he's going to be better off going making some money somewhere. Mm-hmm. Kind of like and the running back from USC that had
Bush
to give back his Heisman. Yeah, you know, just get yourself in a position where you're making money, and whatever repercussions that you have to deal with from college, deal with that later.
It shouldn't be that way. That's the sad part. It really, really shouldn't be that way. So, all right, that's all our picks. We're going to move along with that. We're going to wrap the show up here, ladies and gentlemen. We went over on our picks and stuff, but this is our first show. We're learning and everything else. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, subscribe to us on iTunes. Keep the iPod up and close. Third and Outside. You can also check us out on Facebook. Search Third and Outside. You'll see me and Eric on there. I've had fun. If you had fun today, buddy?
Had a great time. Third and Outside.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
That's the call.
Third and a bit outside. I like that movie from, was it Major League, when they said, when he's calling in Wild Things on the Mound?
Yeah.
Just a bit outside, and here it is about 20 feet over there into the dugout. I got to get that clip for it. Just a bit outside. And that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're a bit outside. We don't have all the stats for the most part. I'm not going to be breaking it down left and right and all this other stuff. So there's a few things we were going to record today, but we're over on time. So we'll bring them up next week. Definitely next week we're going to talk about, I'll have my playoff picture for the bowl game for next year. Hopefully. It's not going to be a playoff in my lifetime, I don't think, or yours.
No.
We will talk about the LA market in the NFL.
Yeah,
a little preview to you guys next week. Make sure to put your comments to us on Facebook. You can email them to us or IM us on Yahoo. Third and Outside, spelled out third, not 3RD. It's Third and Outside at yahoo.com. Email them to them there on us or on Facebook. Put them on there or on the blog page if you're listening to that right now. Also, I have to mention this because it is part of the promotion. And Eric can agree to this. We are also part of the BGO Radio Family Network.
Sell it.
I have to. You can catch me Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 11 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as DJ West, playing the best music from 2000 and today with some good stuff mixed in. So check us out, bgoradio.net. We are part of that family. We will be starting after the first of the year, broadcasting there on Saturdays as well. So join me there. If you like the show, come join me there, and you can have me just anytime you want. Yeah, I know I'm a hoe. All right, anything else to add sports-wise, Eric, before we take off?
No, just a big aloha to anybody listening in Hawaii.
He will be joining us from now on, probably out in Hawaii. He's here in the holidays. He's actually my brother-in-law. He's here for the holidays with the family. So we figured we'd start the podcast with him here, and then he'll be helping me from Hawaii. So, all right, for Eric and myself, have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week, guys. Enjoy the games up on schedule. Enjoy the bowl season, even though we would rather see a playoff. So, for everybody here at Third and Outside, you guys have a great, great sports week. We'll catch you next time.
Merry Christmas.
Just a bit outside. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Third and Outside is produced and edited by LM Productions. 2010 copyright, all rights reserved.